Tappers, what's going on? It is a Saturday Daily Tap. Yes, we are back in action. There was way too much Bucks news not to do a Daily Tap today. So I'm doing it after a exhilarating Bucks victory. They just beat the Los Angeles Lakers 131-120. We'll talk about that game. We have to talk about Paul Gasol becoming a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. We also have to mention Eric Bledsoe securing the bag, all of that, and maybe a little free talk. I don't know. I do have some free talk stuff, you know, Bryce Harper news. I want to make a comment about Denise Richards, a few other things that are just on my noggin. But yeah, excited to do a podcast on a early Saturday morning. Some of you are getting prepared to drink all day for the shuffle. Others of you are maybe going to work. So you have a podcast to kind of listen to, whether you're pre-gaming or whether you're heading out and about on Saturday. So let's start with the game itself, and then we'll get into Gasol. We'll mention Bledsoe because he played a large role in the game tonight against the Lakers. So Milwaukee Bucks kind of looked, I don't want to say lifeless. I wouldn't say that. They just sort of looked tired. And it should have been expected, right? They played a very tough game with the Sacramento Kings on Wednesday night. The Kings and Bucks were running up and down the court. I mean, 140 points for both teams. I mean, it was a very much a tiresome game for both teams. And I wasn't shocked that the Bucks were, you know, that they were a little run down. They were a little run ragged. And you know, Giannis is bothered with that knee issue, and he's still, I think, not 100%. I think he wants to be 100%, but it's clear he's an 80 to 85% at this point. So the Bucks really, you know, need to rely on other guys, and they need to really see it from other sources. Eric Bledsoe has been that source. Eric Bledsoe had a triple-double on Wednesday night. He followed up on Friday with a season-high 31 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. He had just a fantastic evening, and I said it in a group chat to Mitch and Murph. I was like, Bledsoe's having a moment. Like, this is a moment for Eric Bledsoe, right? And Eric Bledsoe talked to Ryan Rucco after the game and basically explained how, you know, these are my guys. I love these guys. They're like my brothers. Why not sign right now? He's like, he didn't want to fuck around with free agency. So he signs an extension, $70 million, 4 years, 17 and a half per. Pretty solid deal for Bledsoe. It's a little less than his free agent cap next year. So that's a great look. John Horst definitely made some moves there. And now the Bucks can really look towards signing Chris Middleton, making sure that Malcolm Brogdon stays happy, as someone's going to offer him some major money, and getting back Brook Lopez. So, I mean, Bledsoe is living in the zone, and apparently got challenged by Mike Budenholzer that he needed to be stronger, he needed to be better. And I don't know if that was a very odd thing that Doris Burke kept mentioning, because like I felt like Bledsoe's had a good year. I feel like has he taken his game up a notch? Yeah, maybe. The only thing I can imagine is if Bledsoe asked for some honest feedback about, why do you think I'm not an All-Star this year? And I think it really bothered Bledsoe at the tail end of the first half. I hate calling it that because it really is like the two-thirds mark. But before the pre-All-Star break, that's the better way to do it. Pre-All-Star break, you could see like the games against Brooklyn and Washington where he was facing D'Angelo Russell or Bradley Beal. He made it a point to kind of be awesome. And it's clear that Bledsoe was irked by those guys making the team and not him. So maybe he did like we could do in the workplace. You know, when your associates are getting honored, but you aren't, and you're doing the same work, you'll at least ask, like, what am I doing wrong here? And then some people will like hear the feedback, hate it, be stubborn. Other people will respond to it and start kicking ass and looking like that. And if Eric Bledsoe is playing at this level, who the fuck is going to stop the Milwaukee Bucks? Seriously, who is going to stop the Bucks? I mean, Giannis is going to get right. I mean, Giannis will get himself healthy, whatever it takes, right? They're going to have a long layoff after Phoenix. They will be off until Thursday. That gives Giannis a few days to really rest up. I would be shocked if he plays tomorrow against Utah. It does not seem likely to me. But, you know, the thing is like Eric Bledsoe was just it was so in the zone, and he played so well in this game, and he had a lot to do. Bucks were down 10 in the third quarter, and all of a sudden they came roaring back, and a lot of that was on Bledsoe. A lot of that was Bledsoe driven, and I think ESPN had the stat that he had either scored or assisted on the last 19 points at one point in the third. And I'm sure that, and that's, I mean, that's the kind of guy Bledsoe's been. I mean, in the last two games, he's, like I said, he's having a moment. And now you get a Utah team who Utah obviously is good, but he's going to face maybe no Ricky Rubio, who's battling a little bit of a quad injury on Saturday. So if you have no Rubio, then you have a lesser opponent. I mean, go off, King. Like, this is Bledsoe's moment, and this is the sort of the era of Eric Bledsoe. And I don't think anyone can look at this and say, all right, this contract's a bad idea. This, you know, keeping Eric Bledsoe on is a bad idea. I know that this is like, well, it's two of his best games, and that sometimes, you know, can jade us, but he's responded to Mike Budenholzer. He wants to play for this team. Let him play for this team. He was incredible. I also have to give Bud credit. He finally figured out the right lineups against the Lakers. They looked too fast at times. Brook Lopez didn't play much at all. He just did not fit into the game. And so Ersan had to be relied on a lot. I drew a lot of frustration towards Ersan early on in this game. I thought he really looked sort of out of sorts, and I felt like DJ Wilson might have been a better option. But it's clear that this is why I'm watching the game on my couch in my joggers and a Bucks shirt than I am with a suit on the sidelines, because Ersan came through with an awesome second half. He had 12 points. He played very good defense on LeBron. He took a critical charge late in the game. He looked like he belonged. And so, again, Mike Budenholzer knows more than I do. I will learn not to question Bud, although I still like my guy DJ. Like, I want to see DJ more often than not, but I get it. I get the time is limited, especially with all of the big guys sort of rolling through the Bucks. But yeah, great night to be a Bucks fan. They clinch a playoff berth, and it is March 1st. Let's remember that. It is March fucking 1st or March 2nd, but they clinched it on the 1st, and the Bucks are in the playoffs. We still have about 6 weeks to go in this season. That's fucking incredible, guys. That is just absolutely amazing for the Bucks, and really something that I think everybody should be proud of. Bucks organization has done such a tremendous job. Also, too, Malcolm Brogdon is maybe one of the best late game shooters that we see in the NBA. He's gonna have a couple of big time moments in the playoffs, and I will bet my bottom dollar on that. He just loves the late game three. I mean, he had the big one. Bucks get a steal, and he knocks that down, and he also had one on Wednesday night. So proud of the Bucks. Really happy that they were able to put this team away and really respond. I mean, they got down. They were down 10, and they won this game. They flipped the game by 20 points. I mean, think about that for a second. They were down 10 points in the second half, and they flipped it, and they just did great. I mean, they beat the Lakers by 12 in the fourth quarter, and that seems to be a theme. If you look at a lot of the Bucks' wins this year, is they are beating teams handedly in the fourth quarter. So love this from the Bucks. Love this team. It's been one of the best things to watch, and they're appointment television almost every night, if not every night. Bucks also made a move, not besides the Bledsoe extension, but also Paul Gasol is now a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. And I think a lot of people got sort of surprised by the idea of Paul Gasol, because some may argue, you know, hey, the Bucks probably need guard or wing depth. They have enough big guys. DJ Wilson's got squeezed out of the lineup. How the hell is Gasol going to play a role here? And I think you get a guy. There's three things you have here. You have a guy who knows the system. Budenholzer, former Spurs guy. I think he's going to – he runs similar stuff to Popovich. He's been with San Antonio now for, I believe, 6 years. So he knows what's going on. Like, this will be a pretty seamless transition for Gasol. I don't think this is going to be very hard for him to learn Budenholzer's system. Number two, you have an insurance policy. Big guys get hurt a lot. Like Brooke Lopez, he's been very good this year, but he is injury prone. Like he's had some injuries in the past. You have a little bit of a backup relief if Lopez goes down. Now, do I want Pau Gasol starting for the Bucks? Absolutely not. But you at least have somebody there who kind of works as an insurance policy. And then the third thing is the championship pedigree. He's been there before. He's been to the mountaintop. He knows what it takes. He is the type of guy who's can be a leader and can be a vocal voice in these late games. And you need that kind of guy. You kind of, I feel like every championship team, at least in the last, decade, has had that one guy who's sort of the veteran, gritty vet, who's had the experience, who's been there before, and sort of is guiding them along the way. The Warriors always seem to have that one guy. The Heat was Juwan Howard. Mavericks, I believe, had somebody. I don't know. P.J. Brown's another one that comes to mind. He was with the Celtics. He didn't really have championship experience. But, again, that old guy who just has seen so much shit. Gasol has seen everything. Gasol has seen the absolute world and can be a shoulder to lean on and bring a leadership quality to this team. He also definitely a physicalness. He's not one to back down from a challenge, and he can get into faces. And I a lot of his minutes and scoring has been down due to a stress fracture in his foot. He might be completely cooked. There is a very good chance that Gasol is completely cooked, but it's at least worth a shot for the Bucks to see what they have with Gasol and see if he can add even more offense and defense to this team and more size. I mean, the Bucks are huge. The Bucks are massive right now. They are a massive team. Can you imagine a front line of Giannis, Brook Lopez, and Pau Gasol? It never happened. It'd be too slow in the interior. But like, they can do so many different lineups, mix and match, whether it's Gasol, Mirotic, and Giannis, whether it's Gasol, Ersan and Giannis. The opportunities are endless, and that has to be very exciting for Budenholzer. And that was a guy that I think is really going to help the Bucks. And I'll hearken back to those three things I mentioned: the system, the championship pedigree, and the insurance policy. I don't necessarily think you have that in any other guy. I think that's what George Hill was. So trying to find another George Hill, I don't know if those are out there. Maybe there's a, I can't, can you name me a wing that would fit that mold? I mean, I think we all would have had an interest in Wesley Matthews, but Wesley, obviously said I'd rather get starters minutes in Indiana, which totally fine. That's his prerogative. But, I think this is a good move. We'll see who else gets bought out. I don't think we saw any names who got bought out today prior to that March 1st deadline, at least for now. I mean, Woj might say, oh, he got bought out before the deadline. But, yeah, there was no other news. So Gasol might have been the only buyout candidate and might have been the only one really available for the Bucks to make a playoff push. I mean, there are other guys out there, but I have to think that, Isaiah Cannon's probably the guy on the way out. I'd be shocked if Christian Wood is, but they don't have any, much room left. And so the Bucks could be making a mistake with Christian Wood. And trust me, if Christian Wood's out there, the Suns, the Bulls, the some of the bottom feeders of the league should think about picking him up, and they're, I think, gonna see profits. I'd hope it's not Christian Wood. I fear it might be, just considering I think the Bucks would rather need the guard play right now, especially with the injury to Hill. Who knows when he's going to be back from the groin strain. All right, let's try to knock out free talk. I don't know how long I'll do free talk. If you guys are familiar, some of you are, some of you aren't. I did a little bit of free talk on Saturdays after Murph got done doing the fantasy stuff. I started doing free talks on Saturdays, and I kind of alluded to it that it's going to ebb and flow. There are going to be weeks where I'm not doing it. There are going to be weeks where I am doing it. I will say, I will bet it gets a little more prevalent after college basketball is over. It kind of gets in the way because it's like, it's 11 o'clock. Maybe the girlfriend's ran an errand. I have a little time. I can knock one out, but Marcotte's playing. So it'd be kind of fucking dumb to not do it right now. So I think once college basketball is over and maybe a random Brewer game's going on or whatever, I think it opens the door up more. But, you know, the free talk topics, obviously, the Bryce Harper news, I wouldn't say rocked the sports world. I think everyone was surprised at how big of the contract it was. The fact that there's no opt-outs is really stunning to me, in that he wants to be a Philly for life and really is hell-bent on being in the city of Philadelphia. Just feel like it's an interesting move. I feel like with his roots in California Las Vegas and Arizona, you just think maybe the Giants would have been a better fit, but who knows? That seems to be where he wants to be. And everyone's saying, well, Philly's the favorite, and Philly's now the on-paper darlings. We'll wait till we actually get some balls in the gloves and some bats on balls, because that Philly team's good. It's just they have a lot of pieces, and we'll see if they all come together. They all work out now. They have a good staff, and they have a good roster. We'll see if it all pans out for them. If not, you know, it's just another Philly team who looks good on paper, but they can't deliver in the actual season. I'm not really worried. I don't know how many takes are out there about, you know, Harper versus Yelich and how does this compare, but like, I don't think it does. I wrote about that Friday on the WIT's website, but if you didn't read it, I basically think, you know, there are other guys who are going to set that market for Yelich, which is not till 2023. You have Mookie Betts, who's going to be up for a deal pretty soon here. You have Mike Trout in 2021. Betts and Trout are really going to determine the value of Christian Yelich, in my opinion. I think Bryce added an extra 30 and some years due to the fact that he's a marketable guy. He's the most marketable guy in baseball right now. I think that the Phillies know their ticket prices skyrocketed already, or not skyrocketed, the sales skyrocketed, excuse me. And also, too, the merchandise is going to go out the fucking door. They are going to make so much money off Bryce Harper. I just don't think Christian Yelich has that marketability. I don't think Mike Trout does. I don't think Mookie Betts might. Mookie Betts may have the Harper-like marketing ability, but the other three do not. So I think that I'll be interested to see where that all nets out. Another free talk on my mind. I just got to say it. So I watch a little bit of Real Housewives when I'm at the gym. Judge me. I don't really give a fuck. You know what? It's mindless television. I'm on the treadmill. I'm just running. I don't really care who sees me. Whatever. I just don't give a fuck. Denise Richards is on the season of Beverly Hills Real Housewives, and she is still a goddamn smoke. She still brings the fire. Like, she's pitching 103. I don't know how old she is. She has to be in her 40s, easy. I'd say 45 maybe. I mean, now granted, Denise Richards is known for a lot of things. I mean, she was a Bond girl. She was in Playboy. She had the iconic scene in Wild Things with Neve Campbell. I mean, all of this is crazy. She's 48. She's 48 and still just throwing the goddamn heat. So I got to give Denise a shout out here. Also, Packers aren't the last thing to wrap it up, just real quick. Packers are not interested in Antonio Brown. Are not the three teams interested in Antonio Brown, new shit Sherlock. Not surprising that they aren't. And the teams who are, Oakland and Washington, two of the more dysfunctional franchises who always try to make big splashes and make it about themselves, are involved. Tennessee Titans, too, who are a little different than those two. But again, they're not looking to trade him to the AFC. So would that make the Redskins the favorite? I guess that would there. Also, Jason Witten's coming back to – I have a couple more topics. It's late, guys. I'm working. I didn't write these down. I'm just free-balling it right now. Jason Witten back in the NFL is fucking crazy. Someone asked in our group chat, like, why is he coming back? And I was like, to be a vegetable? Like, this guy got so much shit that he decided to go play football again. Like, that's amazing. Or he might just hate being at home. I don't know. I mean, that he's the biggest name to unretire since Favre. And so, good for Jason Witten. But, like, and he's off our TVs, which is great. But man, oh man, I don't know how you'd be playing football at 37, especially at tight end position. John Kuhn talked about it on Wilde and Tausch today. Did a great job sort of explaining how, like, taking a year off does a lot to your body. And so for Witten to dial that back up is crazy. Who knows? Maybe he was stayed in football shape just in case. I could see that maniac doing that, the psycho. Last thing. So Natty Light has a beer coming out, or I think it's out. It'll be out for probably spring break, called Natterdays. And it is strawberry lemonade infused natural light. So basically it's like a shandy. I mean, sounds fucking gross, right? But at the same time, I have to try it. I cannot not try it. You just have to try something like that. That's kind of the rules. So I will probably give that a try. I got to let it get a little warmer outside, though. I don't feel like I can fully appreciate it while there's snow on the ground and it's freezing cold outside. So I have to appreciate it in the proper fashion, which I will. But it might take till Memorial Day. And then we're doing a daily tap from California with all the Gator boys, and basically explaining that we tried this and give our review. All right, that does it. We'll be back Monday. We'll talk Bucks Jazz. We'll see if Giannis and the crew can get it done for an 11th straight road win. They'd tie franchise record for that. Also, too, we'll talk Marquette. We will talk the Badgers and anything else that pops up over the weekend. All right, take care. Have yourselves a great Saturday. Go Bucks. Oh, and beer's on me. Little phrase. If you get it, you're a real one. All right, take care. Bye.